Before we open God's word, let us pray. Our gracious and merciful Father in heaven, we do turn unto thee to begin this evening hour of worship and meditation upon thy word, bringing our hearts with thanks and praise and a request that thou would be present with us and that thou would reveal thy blessing that is contained in thy word for us to receive. We thank thee for gathering us together peacefully and safely in this place. And we ask that thou would be present with us, that we might draw close to thee, and that thy word would instruct us in the way that we should go, that we would find the strength in thee and believe upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that thou would be with us until the end. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord's help, let's turn together to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 23 and read the first 12 verses. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the border of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. May we all bow before the Lord in prayer. In these few verses that we've read together, Jesus speaks to the multitude and then to his disciples these words of warning. He speaks of the Pharisees and the scribes and warns his disciples not to be like them. And there must have been quite a bit of pressure on the disciples and all of the Jews to conform to those who are the religious leaders and their expectations or their ways. But Jesus is telling them not to. And we read so much, and if we continue reading, we see much that Jesus says about the scribes and the Pharisees and woes unto them. But with God's help, I desire that we would perhaps turn our attention and focus on the things that Jesus addresses specifically to the disciples. Because they are an encouragement to someone who's feeling pressure to conform to one who is not following after godliness. There was pressure in that day to conform to the Pharisees and the scribes. There's pressure in our day to conform to ways and customs, some similar to the Pharisees, some very different in their outward appearance to the Pharisees, but pressures nonetheless. And Jesus has a special message for his disciples. He has a special message for us who gather together in Jesus' name, who are called by him to be his brothers and sisters in the Lord. We find in verse 8 that Jesus tells his disciples specifically to them, this is for you. Do not be called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. The Pharisees may have their attention of men, and they may have their positions and their titles, but the disciples of Jesus Christ, and us as God's children, and part of the new covenant, we have blessings that are far better and far richer. We have one who is our rabbi and master, our teacher, Christ himself. There is no better teacher than we can have. Apostle Paul told Timothy that Jesus Christ has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This is the subject matter of his teaching. He is teaching about life and immortality. And there's no better teacher than Jesus Christ for this and all of life, things that we need to know. You may know that there's a service that's available. It's called Master Class, where people who are renowned through the world for their expertise in their area of excellence, they give some classes and teach on their subject of expertise. You can learn how to cook from Wolfgang Puck, or learn how to play tennis from Serena Williams. The best of the best, but only in their field. And so there's a little bit of a similarity in that Jesus Christ is the best of the best of teachers. He always had an answer that could touch the heart of man, that no one could resist. Don't you love it how Jesus answered the question about whether they should pay taxes, to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. It clarifies everything and puts us in a place where we see our humble need for the Lord and to be of service to him and yield ourselves to him. He's the best teacher. But the format of the teaching that Jesus offered his disciples while he was on this earth, and the format that he desires to have with us, is different from that online class that you pick up a recording and you watch somebody who explained something maybe months or years ago. When Jesus called his disciples, he did not call them to a class once a week and then they would go their ways, but he called them to a daily following and to be with him so that they could hear his teaching, for sure, but also to observe him, to see him, how he dealt with the challenges and the questions that came up, how he ministered and served to the needs of others. So much so that the disciples asked Jesus, "Teach us to pray." And Jesus taught them. It was a close fellowship of teaching, of time spent together, walking by the roadside, breaking bread, spending time with one another. I think we would all imagine that those disciples had that front row seat to Jesus in his earthly ministry. But that's the dearness and the nearness that Jesus desires for us when we become his disciples, when we become his pupils and learn of him. Not to keep us at arm's length, but to draw us near and to spend time with us. Now, those of us who have committed our lives unto the Lord, we know the struggle that we went through in coming to the realization that it's not about my deeds and my effort that will gain me inheritance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord. And in those times that we struggled with coming to that realization, Christ was near. And he was faithful. And he helped us. And he taught us. He showed us the way. And Jesus wants to be close to us when he teaches us today. He wants that daily walking close together. And he'll teach us many things. He'll teach us that to be his disciple, we need to lay down our life. And many will turn back at that teaching. But those who believe, those who do have the faith that Jesus Christ is the anointed Son of God, and that his words are true, and they take that teaching, they believe it, and they follow through in surrendering their life unto him, they find that he's faithful. They find that he is all that they were needing, all that we need for life and faith. And we can trust him, and that he can give us the victory that we even prayed about upon our knees in this evening. And we can ask ourselves, if this is true of the disciples of Christ, that we have a teacher, we have a master, we can ask ourselves, what has he been teaching me recently? In that daily walk, through those daily experiences and difficulties, he has something to instruct us. And sometimes we may realize maybe he's been a little bit more distant than we would like. Disciples had an experience like that too. When they were on the sea and the storm was raging and they were doing everything that they could to keep their boat from crashing beneath the waves, Jesus was asleep on the bottom of the boat. He was there. He wasn't too far away. And the disciples needed to call on him, though. They needed to call on him and ask him for help. We, too, have such a great resource in Christ Jesus our Lord, if you would call it a resource. Call him a resource. But do we call on him? Do we ask him, show me how to sort through this storm that I'm going through? Is this a storm I should be afraid of? Is this a storm that will overcome me? Is this a storm I need to get out of? How do I need to handle the challenge, the storm that you're facing? All the disciples needed to do was go and wake him up. He's not very far. To all those who call upon him in that desperation, in that need, and in that faith, to be our teacher, to guide us, to instruct us when we don't know which way to go, and to help us. But he wants that close fellowship and communion to continue. He wants that to be that daily pattern of our walk with him. And he will take us. He will take us wherever Wherever he goes, he'll lead us. Be it through teachings, be it through experiences, be it through the cross. We have one master, even Christ. And all ye are brethren. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. This is true for the disciples of Jesus Christ, that we have a Father. We have a family. We belong. He corrects us as is needed, and we welcome it because he knows what is good for us, and he wants the best, the very best for us. He wants us to have our lights shining for him, to be an honor and a glory, to let the world know that we have a Father in heaven who we trust to provide for all our needs. And that confidence and contentment would show forth and be a testimony that, yes, I do have a Father in heaven. And yes, he is at work in my life through Jesus Christ. There's probably nothing greater that we can meditate upon and cherish than the blessing of having a heavenly father. Having an earthly father is a great blessing, especially a father who teaches us in the ways of the Lord. But having a heavenly father is truly better. And it remembering this and allowing the reminder of Jesus that we have a blessing that's greater than anything of those that are pressuring us away from Christ, he will help us to shine brightly for him. I was reminded of a dear sister who has passed on. She lost her husband. She lost her son. And yet she had a testimony to the people that took care of her. She said, "Oh, I have a father. And I have thousands of brothers and sisters." Her doctors were wondering whether she was going senile. She said, No. I'm perfectly in my right mind. I have a heavenly father. And all of my brothers and sisters that are in church, they're praying for me. And she shone brightly as a testimony of the love of God and her confidence in him. And it's my prayer that Jesus' reminder to us of the blessing of having a heavenly Father would help us to shine brightly. That we wouldn't worry or fear about the pressures that this world may bring, for they seem to be gathering. But we have a blessing that's far greater. We have a Father in heaven. Jesus then says, "Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ." The Pharisees said that God was their Father, and yet we see in these words that Jesus says about them that they say and do not. And they did things to be seen of men. If God is omnipotent, if he knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts, and we really believe that, that truth will set us free from being fake. The truth will set us free. Not our fear of being seen or being caught, but that truth And Apostle Paul talks to servants in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6. And it speaks to us as well as servants of God, because we have a master, and we want to serve him in uprightness and in honesty and in genuineness. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, to the servants in that church, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. So those that would be in a relationship with someone as a servant to a person that is their master. And he says to do it with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Eye service would be doing the service and the things that are right when people are looking. That is described as being a men pleaser. But the quality of service that Apostle Paul describes here, that should be a quality of our service to God, is to do the will of God from the heart. And we can talk a lot about the Pharisees and our day and worry about labeling ourselves or labeling somebody else. But at the end of the day, God wants our hearts. God doesn't want us to know how to put everybody in categories. He can do that. But we need to yield our hearts to the Lord. We do have a master. We do need to serve him from the heart. And as he teaches us through experiences and through his word, may our prayer always be, thy will be done, O Lord, that we would do the will of our Father in heaven. There are all kinds of masters. Some are selfish. Some are mean. Some are oblivious to what's going on with their servants or managers with their companies. But then there are some managers or masters that are wise and take the time and take the cost of investing back into their company. There's a man in Australia named Nick Woodman who had an idea. He was a surfer, and he wanted to take pictures of himself and his friends as they were doing whatever they were doing on the water. And he took the time to develop a camera. And he begins selling them, and then took that money and invested into being able to build better ones, more rugged, to be able to handle all kinds of vibration and movement and make a really quality product. And he started the company GoPro that makes cameras for all kinds of uses. There are so many companies that you could think of that the owner took an idea, reinvested the money to make a better product, and things took off and grew. And while the examples of companies pale in comparison, the idea of investing in the servants, in the company, And the benefit of that is true of our Master. In particular, God has sent his only begotten Son. Not only does he provide resources, but he invests himself. He sent his only begotten Son. And Jesus laid his life not only, and he left all of the pleasures of heaven so that you and I could have the opportunity that our sins might be forgiven through his shed blood, that we could have peace with God. He has invested not only things, but himself into his kingdom and into his servants. We read of from Romans chapter 5. What do you need when you are for your growth in faith? Romans 5, verses 1 and 2 say, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, because he invested himself. Now, by whom, by Jesus Christ, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." You know, as an engineer, when we're building something, we need access to time, and we need access to materials, and to the resources. Here it says we are given access into grace by faith wherein we stand. And that grace is needful for our life of faith. That strength that we depend upon, and it only comes through faith. And God offers it freely to those who would come to him in faith. Apostle Paul speaks to the Philippians about the things that God provides. It says in Philippians chapter 4, he leaves nothing out, really. When he says, "I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which are sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." And he encourages the church in the next verse, "But my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." The riches of the glory in Christ Jesus are sufficient to supply all of our need for a life of faith. Apostle Paul was told by God himself that God's grace is sufficient for him. And in his weakness, God's strength and power is made perfect. With a master that invests himself and the resources that are needed to come to bear that we could live a godly life before him, this is the only way that Apostle Paul could say, a little bit earlier in chapter 4, verse 13, that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Christ is my life. He is my strength. He is the vine that gives of himself to feed the branches so that we can be competent in the faith and in fruit bearing. So how's that connection? How's that vital connection between the branch and the vine? That connection of faith and trust in the living God and love for Jesus Christ. This is what needs to be strengthened as we remember that Jesus is our master and we are to serve him. He will give us all that we are needing. He will provide, just like the vine provides everything for the branches. In light of the blessings that Jesus speaks to us and to his disciples, it is humbling. And naturally flows that we would take a humble seat, knowing that it is God that provides for his children There's none greater than the other, but ye all are brethren, as Jesus says. These are the blessings Jesus offers to his disciples and are the possession of God's children, the inheritance that encourage us and remind us to press on in the faith, to look to God, to remember what he's given us. These blessings come in amidst of Jesus' teachings on the Pharisees, and they stand out because they are the true riches. They are the true blessings. The things of the Pharisees, they're counterfeits. They're fakes. They're frauds. They're not the true riches. But knowing the truth, knowing the Lord, knowing what's good, and meditating upon it this evening is my prayer, that we would have a greater desire for the true and less desire for the counterfeits. And even as we prayed before the service, the counterfeits and the lies and the fakes, they take all kinds of shapes and sizes. In this time there were some, in our time there are some. Some look like Pharisees, some don't look like Pharisees. They have common traits in not seeking true obedience from the heart and yieldedness to God, or to be seen of men. And they take all kinds of shapes and sizes, and Satan has all kinds of shoes that he's willing to put on. Whatever one fits, he's willing to use. He's not picky. But when we come to the Word of God and we're reminded of the blessings in Jesus Christ, let's hunger and thirst for the true. Be filled with them and be strengthened by them. For they are for us, that we could grow in the faith, that we can walk before him and be that light that he calls us to be. May God bless his word to that end. Amen.
It was discussed in this evening about how Jesus is our ultimate teacher. And that is even what he says. He says, for one is your master or teacher, even Christ. He is saying of himself that he is the ultimate master or teacher. And this world will give us much advice, and a lot of it is prosperous for our physical selves, for how to invest in companies, how to invest in ourselves, and that all has a place for this world. But it gives nothing, no reward, spiritually speaking. In verse 13, Christ calls the scribes and the Pharisees hypocrites, and he says, they shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for they do not go in themselves, neither do they allow them that are following to enter therein. They are blind leaders of the blind. That is all this world has to offer. The teachings of this world will never lead us anywhere. They will lead us somewhere in this earth itself and has nothing to offer afterwards. It's a simple truth that we all know, we've all come to know, but may God give us the wisdom that we need daily to look into our hearts and to pick which teachings we are to follow after. The ways of this world that lead to destruction and damnation, or the ways of our ultimate Lord and Savior, our teacher, Jesus Christ, the ways that lead to life and that everlasting with him. May God bless his word in our hearts. Amen.